I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I am joined by Kellen Westring of PLU Football, Lacey Nicholson of PLU Basketball, and Drew Artisoni of PLU Basketball. All three of my co-hosts are senior athletes, and our tough deal this week is kind of the emotions of being a senior athlete. I can only relate it back to high school and how much I did not like when each of my seasons came to an end. So, Kellen, you're looking at, you know, your last game this Sunday or Saturday. How do you feel?
It's definitely bittersweet. You know, I was talking to John Schaub last night as we had our last night practice, and he and I just kind of sat in the stands as everyone was walking out and, you know, just looked at the turf field, looked at the fog as it was rolling over. And when your body is telling you it's time to hang it up, That's when you know it's time to hang it up. John was telling me that his ankle was hurting, his knee was hurting, obviously his AC sprain is still hurting, and so he knows that he's done. For myself, my body for the most part feels pretty good. Throughout my career, I've had a lot of lower leg injuries, but this year I haven't had any, and so far I have a cracked rib right now and an AC sprain shoulder, but I'm able to play through those, and so that's why I want to continue to play. And so for myself, I'm going to try to strive to play overseas in Europe, and looking forward to that. And once the season winds down, I'm going to continue to work out for that, Christian. But for me, what's really sad is knowing that I won't be a PLU football player anymore. Mm-hmm. But what a way to end my career, going against Linfield, a top team in the nation. I honestly wouldn't want it any other way. I love playing in the Cat Dome. I love McMinnville, Oregon. Love that atmosphere. Love their crowd. I know they're going to be definitely into this football game, because if they beat us, they win the Northwest Conference Championship. So they're definitely going to be playing to win, which will be so exciting. For our seniors, we're going to go out there and play the game of our life. We're going to leave nothing on the field. We're going to leave everything out there. We're not going to let any stone be unturned. And we're just so excited as a senior class. For me, Christian, it goes by so fast. And I think we all can attest to this. When people come back and say, you know, from years past, alumni, and say, hey, guys, you know, don't take 1 week for granted. It goes by so fast. For me, you know, when I was a freshman, a guy came back, it kind of goes through one ear and out the other, because you say, oh, I have 3 years left, I have 4 years left, but it really goes by so fast. You blink and then you're a senior, you're in your last game, you can't even believe it. But what's so great about emo football is it's a lifestyle, and I'll be able to come back and watch these guys play, Lord willing, someday coach with my father. So emo football will be a part of my life forever, but I'm so excited to play in this last game against Linfield, and I look at it as we get one more week, not we have one more week.
Lacey, you are looking at your last full season. Basketball is getting underway. What are your feelings towards it?
Well, I'm really excited to kick off this last season. We got a young group of girls. I've already said that many times. But I'm excited to lead this team. Only have 3 seniors this year, and I'm really going to take advantage of that opportunity to just kind of pass some knowledge down to these younger girls so that this program can continue to grow. And fortunately for me, like Kellen was saying, he's playing overseas. I actually have the opportunity to play in London, Paris, and Amsterdam. It's not a professional thing. It's just a cultural experience, and I'm going to take that starting June of this summer. So
very cool.
I'll be there for, it's about a couple weeks long, but I'll still be playing basketball overseas, which is obviously a huge dream for a lot of people, so I'm excited to pursue that.
Yeah, very cool. Drew, how do you feel about it? You're also looking at the last season. It's just getting underway here with games getting started. How are you feeling going into your last season?
Yeah, we felt like we got cheated out of a tournament bid last year as juniors. The senior class did, and now looking at it this year, we as a senior class are like, okay, we're not going to get cheated this year. We're not going to go down to Oregon and lose two games we shouldn't. We're not going to let the Wits beat us again. We're going to keep Whitman at bay, even though they're ranked number 8 in the nation and PLU didn't get a vote. After what we did last year, we feel like we have set up a senior season where we are going to be successful. And very, very excited about what this team has to offer. I'm excited that it's my last year. I'm excited for what the future holds after basketball. But as of right now, I'm just focusing on my last time being a student athlete.
Yeah, very interesting. Enjoy it for all of you who are still playing from the half athlete himself. Have fun with it, all right? All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little University of Washington Huskies. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hockey career began like many players, on frozen ponds. That's why the groundbreaking partnership between the NHL and Constellation is so beneficial for the communities we play in and fans like you. Constellation and the NHL have a commitment to a clean energy future. So we join forces to offset the league's entire carbon footprint this season and work with NHL clubs to help reach their energy efficiency goals. I'm proud to be part of a league that's taking action to preserve the environment. Constellation, the NHL's preferred energy choice.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete, joined by Kellen Westering of PLU Football, Lacey Nicholson of PLU Women's Basketball, and Drew Artisoni of PLU Men's Basketball. If you want to call in the show and talk a little UW Huskies football with us, the number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, hit us up at 253-535-7332. So the Huskies have continued to roll over teams. We know their schedule isn't incredibly tough, but they are beating the snot out of every team that they play. They beat Cal 66-27 last weekend. They moved into fourth in the college football playoff bracket. That's the final spot. Is that a spot that the Huskies should feel comfortable in? Should they be happy with where they're at right now?
I think right now it's what they're going to get. Unless Alabama, Clemson, or Michigan end up losing a game, I really don't see the Dogs getting any higher than fourth, just because of their schedule, like you already hit on. But, hey, you only have to be top four to be in that playoff bracket. So as long as they're secure there, I think they're looking good. But to answer your question, no, it's not comfortable. It puts pressure on the Dogs to treat every game as golden. And, yeah, that fourth spot is not entirely secure. So that means they really got to do some work on the field.
You know when you take a picture of your friend and you say, nobody's safe? Nobody is safe in college football. Every game matters. Just like Lacey said, every game needs to be treated like gold. And honestly, it's hard to put your second string guys in because they go off of scores at times. So you need to put points up on the board. Mm-hmm. Washington's undefeated. They haven't played great teams, but they are thumping them into the ground and beating them down. I have no issue at all with UW sitting at number four. They deserve it, and they should be there.
That's fair. That's fair. Drew, what do you think?
I think they deserve it very well. I think they should be there. I think that their consistency is what has put them there. I think that in the eyes of the college football pollsters, of that elite group that does all of this, I feel like, and all the metrics that they put into it, I feel like their consistency has played a big role in them moving up to the number four slot. However, they should be thankful for that number four slot due to their weak schedule, and they can't lose. Every game is a championship game. If they lose one game, I promise you they drop as far or as bad as LSU dropped. I don't know if you guys saw how bad LSU dropped in the polls this week. They dropped almost, 13 spots in the poll this week, and Florida dropped out.
Yeah.
And they both have tougher schedules. The Dogs continue to be consistent, continue to roll teams. They'll stay at four. They're not going to go any higher because they don't play a tough enough schedule to get higher than four. The only problem is with being comfortable with that is you have to be comfortable with drawing Alabama in the first round of the college football playoff, which will be tough.
That's fair. So that leads me to my next question. If the Huskies do go undefeated and make that college football playoff, will they get exposed for not being as good as we think they are?
I believe the Huskies are a very, very good football team. And what I love about the Huskies right now is, again, I'm not an insider. I'm not there. I'm not interviewing Chris Peterson every minute of every day. But what I honestly see when I watch this UW Husky football team play is I see a team that's motivated. They like being the underdog. They like not having – because if you think about it, Seattle is all about the Seahawks. The Huskies are ranked fourth in the nation, have a chance to play for a national title, and nobody's really talking about it because everyone thinks they're going to lose. Everyone is waiting on pins and needles for them to lose, for them to be then 17th in the country. And the Huskies, in my opinion, love that. And they need that motivation because when you're a top team in the nation, they're number four, they need something to motivate them day in and day out. And I truly believe that they believe that they're underdogs and they think that they're – everyone thinks that they're going to be upset, either whether it's USC, whether it's the Cougs, and I honestly think that's going to be a heck of a ball game, so I better stay awake for Black Friday. But what I'm trying to say is they are motivated by people believing that they are not that good, especially on the East Coast. UW is a heck of a football team, and people need to start appreciating it because it can go by so fast. Even if they lose a game, they're still a great football team. Give them credit.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair. Lacey, what do you think?
I'm really hoping the Dogs make it to the playoffs because I would love to see them go against some of these top-notch teams and hopefully silence the critics who are saying they might not be good enough. But honestly, guys, I don't really know how the Dogs would compete against these teams. Jake Browning leads college football quarterbacks in passing touchdowns with 34, and John Ross is tied for second in the country with 14 receiving touchdowns. So the statistics are there on offense, but have the Dogs really been exposed to a defense able to stop them? I mean, we talked about how they've been pounding on other teams in the Pac-12 with this offense. They haven't really been exposed to a defense capable of stopping them. But I'm really interested to see an outcome of a game against Alabama, Clemson, or Michigan. I don't doubt the Dogs at all, but I think Kellen hit on it. They definitely are underdogs, and that can give them some momentum.
Underdogs, no pun intended. I think they're going to get exposed when they go play in the college football playoff for one reason and one reason only. And you can look through all of the UW players to make the NFL in the last 10 years. And they're all skill players. They're all wideouts, linebackers,
Danny Shelton,
DBs, wideouts, running backs.
Danny Shelton.
I'm saying the vast majority are all, especially the high-picked ones. Now, you don't see many O-linemen or D-linemen where college football teams are built from. You build inside out, not outside in. However, if you go to Alabama and you go to Michigan, you go to Clemson, you see lots of O-linemen taken in the first round. Lots of D-linemen taken in the first round. I think UW has better skill players than all three of these other schools.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think they have better lines on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. I think that they're going to get beat up. If they go there, I think that Alabama is just going to run the ball right through him. Chris Peterson can play his game, and it may turn into a shootout. But I don't want to test the big O linemen who all end up in the big D linemen who all end up in the NFL against these Pac-12 guys who you never ever see happen, never ever see end up there. Really,
yeah. To your point, real quick, Drew, if that's okay, Christian. I was very impressed though when UW played Stanford because Stanford is known for having great linemen, Josh Garnett, and
great
they shut McCaffrey down. They shut that line down. So that was, to your point, which you make a great point about Alabama, but UW has shown that they can stand their ground when they need to.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask about this weekend's game against USC. We saw at the beginning of the year USC was ranked 20th in the nation. They played Alabama and got waylaid by the Crimson Tide. So I want to ask everyone in here, I want to ask everyone in here if there is a chance that the Huskies could get upset by USC this weekend.
There's not a chance in Hades, Christian. Woo. So you,
in Hades.
USC's Woo. Three losses are to Alabama, Stanford, and Utah. All three respectable opponents.
Mm-hmm.
USC is starting to look like USC again. USC sees in turn, sorry Lacey, when Helton inserted redshirt freshman Sam Darnold and benched Max Brown, we know he's a Skyline alum, as his starting quarterback in the fourth game.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 31-27 loss against the Utah Utes, who scored in the final minute. But the Trojans have ripped off five wins in a row since then, winning by four by at least 21 points. But you look at UW. UW put up 70 against Oregon. They could have put up 70 against Cal.
Mm-hmm.
But they put up 70 against Oregon in Eugene, where USC only put up 45 at USC against the Ducks at home, like I mentioned. Like I said earlier, UW is on a mission this year. I believe the Huskies are going to win this football game 42-17. College game day is going to be there. Again, the Huskies need to win these football games. I think Chris Pearson looks back at the Oregon State game and says, gosh dang it, we needed to put more points up on the board. I think the Huskies are going to play extremely well against a great team in USC who's ranked in the top 25 in the country.
Right. Well, Kellen, you hit on a lot of things that I have here. But I firmly believe that any team can beat another team on any given day, regardless of standings or status, rankings, whatever. I think that's just the amazing thing about sports. I mean, you could be a total underdog and come out and beat the top team in the league. Right now, the Trojans have a win streak going. Like Kellen said, ever since they changed their quarterback early in the season, Sam Darnold, QB, is throwing for well over 200 yards per game in the last five games that they've won. He has 20 touchdowns on the season. And to add, USC running back Ronald Jones is averaging 6.8 yards per rush. But honestly, the way the Huskies are playing right now, their defense is only allowing 15.8 points per game. And we already hit on it, the offense is dominant out there. I think the Huskies will easily come away with a win.
Mm-hmm. Man, Drew, what do you think? Is there an upset brewing?
It comes down to the consistency factor at the end of the day, and that's why I don't think USC can beat the Huskies. I just think the Huskies are too consistent. And, yeah, USC has ripped off a couple in a row, and they look pretty good right now. Sam Darnold's freshman. I just don't see USC being able to put it together in the dog pound on college game day with the spotlight on. I just don't see him being able to do it. I see Chris Peterson playing Chris Peterson football, smashing it inside and throwing the ball deep over the top. I think that Jake Browning is going to pick apart this USC defense, and I'm just looking forward to the game, to be honest. I don't think that upset is even a possibility.
Yeah. And I think I'm really happy for Todd Helton, though, guys. I mean, Todd Helton's job was on the line, and he may have saved his job by doing this quarterback switch against, sorry, Max. But I really believe that USC is for real, and that's what's so awesome. You look at the maturity of a coach, Chris Pearson, and you are who your team is. That's why you see Pete Carroll. He's a little bit chippy at times. That's why his players are chippy. But Pearson is so mature, and he gives USC a lot of credit in his press conferences this week, which he should, because USC is for real. They always have dudes, right? They always have legit dudes, guys like Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez, Matt Puntley, as her co-host Drew likes to say. But that's why I love the fact that UW is taking this game so serious, as they should every game. Mm-hmm. But this is, again, a championship football game, and I'm so excited. Our football game starts at 1:30. I believe this game's at 4:30, Christian, if I'm not mistaken. And so right after this game, I'm trying to get to a TV real quick because this will be a fun game to watch.
All right, very good stuff. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, it's time to talk a little Seahawk football, play a little the Seahawks will. Find out what we think the Seahawks will be up to next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Don't worry, 74 people were picked before me in the NFL draft.
To fight childhood obesity, United Way and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Okay, time for the team obstacle course. Yay!
What this place needs is more healthy kids. To get involved or donate, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Now I get it.
Damn. Welcome back to Master Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show and talk a little Seahawks with us, the number to do it is 253-535-7332. Once again, that number is 253-535-7332. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I'm joined by POU wide receiver Kellen Westring. I'm also joined by POU forward Lacey Nicholson and POU point forward Drew Artisoni. So let's talk a little Seahawks. They played on Monday Night Football. They won 31-26 against the Bills. 31 points is a pretty good number. That'll get the job done most of the time, especially with the Seattle Seahawks defense. Lacey, I'm going to ask you, what's the key to this Seahawks offense?
Well, in almost every win the Hawks have had this season, Jimmy Graham has had over 90 yards receiving, and in three of their five wins, he has had over 100 yards receiving. The games the Hawks have lost, Jimmy Graham has had less than 55 receiving yards. This guy is just a raw athlete and is key to the Hawks' success, and the offense is looking good when Russell Wilson is throwing the ball to Jimmy Graham. I think he's the key to this offense.
I think that's
Isn't he also
true.
Your screensaver?
Oh, yeah. He's also a very good-looking man.
Okay.
Wow. I respect it. Guys, the key to this offense, again, is a very simple answer, but it starts with the quarterback, and it's number three, Russell Wilson. What I loved about Russell in this football game is he looked extremely healthy. You saw him run a couple times. You saw him escape the pocket. He just looked way more calm back there, poised, and threw some darts. And again, this is what we were missing these last couple weeks because he didn't quite trust his leg. And it's a tough deal. We did not run the football very well on Monday night. And we put a lot of trust in our offense in number three's arm. And again, he produced. Like Lacey said, obviously Jimmy played a great game. Dougie B played extremely well. But again, it always starts with the quarterback. And Russell is finally beginning to be healthy. And again, when Russell's healthy, in my opinion, Drew, you can argue this, but I think he's a top seven quarterback in this football league. And I know top seven is because I'm number seven.
Kellen, I want to ask you about the play late in the first half. Richard Sherman got called for an offside penalty when the Buffalo Bills tried a field goal. On that play, Sherman absolutely blasted the Bills kicker, Dan Carpenter. There's pictures that show that he touched the football, but still, it just looked like Sherman was out to get that kicker. What were your thoughts about that whole situation?
Well, I was livid when I saw that play because, for me, I'm not even a Bills fan or a Carpenter, fan, but mm-hmm. I thought it was his knee. And so I'm like, are you kidding me, Sherman? That is so dirty. You're way better than that. But again, that's what you got to love about social media. Richard Sherman finds a picture from whatever photographer posted on Twitter, and you see his hand is literally on the ball. It's pretty impressive. It's almost like he's holding the ball for him to kick it. It was really cool to see that because I was so mad at Richard after that play. Even with the kind of the slow-mo replays, I still thought it was a dirty play. But then you see Sherman's hand was on the ball. I'm not quite sure what was going through his mind because it's not even close when it comes to offsides. He's about a yard and a half before the ball's even snapped. But I just feel bad for the Bills. That whole 30 seconds was a tough deal for Rex Ryan because that should have been 3 points on the board. He misses the field goal. They call timeout. That's part of the game. It's icing. But then he misses it. The delay of game I thought wasn't quite fair. The ref was standing over the ball, hovering, and then they have about 8 seconds to snap it. I don't think it was very good officiating by the referees in that last minute. But again, they're human. I definitely couldn't do as good a job as they do, so I'm not going to be all over them. Mm-hmm. But again, they make that field goal there. They can kick a field goal to tie the football game up. It's one of those things where you can always revert back to a play that could have changed the football game. But I'm glad that I saw that picture because it makes me not as mad as I was at Richard Sherman.
That's fair. That's fair. Drew, I want to ask you, are officials that bad? Because to me, the Sherman play was awkward in the sense that there isn't another play that you can kind of point at and go, whoa, that looked like the time that so-and-so did that. It was unique. I never had really seen anything like that. So my question, like I said, are officials that bad?
See, the call was that bad. Officials aren't. And I just don't think some people understand how hard an official's job is and how hard it is to officiate the world's best athletes. Guys like Richard Sherman, guys like Cam Newton.
Guys that are running 4.3.
Guys like LeBron James. Yeah. All these guys are just supreme athletes and are possibly the best athlete at their position. They're going to do things that nobody, as we both point out, has ever seen before. No one has seen Richard corners do what Richard Sherman does. No one has seen quarterbacks do what Cam Newton does. No one has seen a power forward / small forward / shooting guard / point guard / center do what LeBron James has done. That's hard to officiate. I don't think you understand. You're asking people to make calls on games moving faster than some people fast forward through TiVo commercials. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And I think that when something happens that you don't have never seen before, you got to give the officials a break and give them some time to sort it out as well. Now, did Richard Sherman get ball first? Yes. In that case, was it a penalty? No. Mm-hmm. The call was that bad. The officials aren't.
That's
you're
fair.
Just, you're asking a lot, a lot of humans.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Christian, you know, being an umpire as well.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. It's tough when it's tough to decide what something was when you have never seen it before. Is ultimately what I was kind of getting at there.
And I was listening to sports radio the other day. Bill Belichick has been wanting this so badly. Every year he kind of vouches for this. He wants every play to be able to be reviewable. But
that's too
think
much.
About how long that game would last. Yeah, that's if that's what would happen.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, the Seahawks play the Patriots this week, and it kind of feels like these two teams have a rivalry. Seahawk fans don't really like the Patriots. I don't think many people like the Patriots. But it kind of doesn't make sense in a sense that, you know, they're in two different conferences. Geographically, they're extremely far away from each other. Why do these two teams have kind of a little bit of a rivalry going here?
Super Bowl 49 is all I have to say. For those of you who weren't able to see this game, back and forth battle between the Seahawks and the Patriots, and it comes down to the final seconds where the Hawks are down and they need to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch to finish the job. Instead, Russell Wilson throws a pick, and the Patriots take away the Super Bowl 49 title. I think this rivalry is not going to fade until the players that are on the teams now are retired and they have completely different teams. Still feels fresh in my memory, and I'm sure the players feel the same way. So it's going to be a good game this week.
All right, let's do it then. Let's move on to the prediction for Sunday's game. Let's hear it. Lacey, who do you got this weekend?
Well, the odds are kind of stacked against the Hawks. The Patriots are doing well this season, sitting in the top half of the offensive rankings, sixth in the league for points per game, seventh for total yards per game. Having said that, though, the Seahawks defense is also one of the tops in the league, ranked third for points allowed. I think this is going to be an awesome matchup, the Patriots offense against the Seahawks defense, and I'm really hoping that the fact that it's an away game is not going to be a factor for the Hawks. It's definitely going to be a close one, but the Hawks are going to come out with a win.
All right, all right. There's the prediction. Drew, what do you got this weekend?
Patriots win. Patriots will win handedly. Patriots are only 2-1 favorites to win the Super Bowl in Vegas, and Vegas does not lie. Belichick is the greatest coach to do it in my lifetime. Tom Brady is probably the greatest quarterback of my lifetime. And I checked the Vegas odds, and Vegas has Patriots at 7.5 points. 7.5 points better than the Seahawks. Predicted score probably 35-17.
All right, that's fair. Drew, Kellen, what do you got?
So unfortunately, I was unable to attend last week. But can I just take a moment to say I picked the Saints to beat the Hawks?
That's a couple weeks ago, yeah.
That's a couple weeks ago.
We got you on record.
And the Saints did win, and I just want to say, wow, what a pick. In my opinion, this week, I think the Seahawks will win. This kind of goes against, you know, my theology, if you will, because the Pats are at home. But I'm going to be taking the points with the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks defense has been outstanding. They're kind of a bend but don't break defense. I think their big defensive playmakers will also be able to slow down Tom Brady and keep this game close. It appears that Cam Chancellor will be back on defense, which is a huge boost going against this Patriot offense. The Patriots feature the 18th ranked passing defense, so I expect Wilson, who again, like I mentioned earlier, who is looking a lot better, he's looking a little bit more healthy, to have some success in the air. I'm honestly confident that the Hawks will be around to hang and win this football game. And you look at the Bills and Hawks game, the Seahawks just know how to win. The Bills should have won that game. They had the ball on what was at the 8-yard line, but the Bills don't quite know how to finish. And sorry, because I play on this football team, but that kind of can relate to the PU football team. We didn't quite know how to win this year. We didn't quite know how to finish games. And that's what the Seahawks do know how to do. They know how to win close games. They know how to be calm when it's really, really, when the sphincters are tight. And so I believe the Hawks are going to win 20-17.
Christian, how about you, bud?
I'll play the game. On Sunday, the Seahawks will lose.
Thank the Lord.
Now, it's kind of crazy to me when you look at these numbers. Tom Brady missed 4 games at the beginning of this season. The Patriots still have the 7th best offense in the league, averaging 380 yards per game, and they're 6th in points per game at 27. Okay, that's crazy to me. Their number one quarterback missed half of their game so far, and they're still a top-ranked offense. Yes, Cam Chancellor will be back this weekend, but Michael Bennett is still out. And without the pass rush, without someone getting after Tom Brady, and if he gets to sit there and just make throws, that's not good for the Seahawks defense, even though they are one of the best defenses in the league. So I'm going to go with the Patriots this weekend.
It's funny, we haven't really heard the name Garoppolo lately, have we?
No, it's been a while.
Well, let me tell you, you're going to hear it next year when he goes to a new team and makes $40 or $50 million, or when he stays, they ship Tom Brady out of town and they pay Garoppolo $25 million to still be a Patriot quarterback. It's happened before, ladies and gentlemen. The Niners send Joe Montana to the Chiefs. Just remember,
they're not
going to
do the Alex Smith deal either.
Don't be too Brady happy.
Don't be surprised if Romo goes to the Jets, though. I like that one.
Let me tell you, man. Hey, Brady, without Brady, they won games. With Brady, they've won games. I think they have that good of a system there. I think it's kind of like when Jordan leaves the Bulls and they only lose two more games the next year.
Yeah, but you don't let go of the best quarterback to ever play the football game. I just don't think you do that. Yep. If Belichick is smart, he keeps Brady.
All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll play a little Would You Rather. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented at 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game!
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I'm joined by Kellen Westering of POU football, joined by Lacey Nicholson of POU women's basketball, and I'm joined by Drew Artisoni of POU men's basketball. If you want to jump in and play a little Would You Rather with us right now, you could do it if you call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, the number is 253-535-7332. So let's get it started. I want to know if you would rather be the hunted or the hunter, meaning that, you know, kind of like the UW Huskies right now, you're in a playoff spot. Would you rather be holding that lead, holding that spot, or would you rather be chasing it?
I'd rather be chasing it, to be honest with you. I'd rather be the hunter.
Interesting. Why?
I mean, I think athletes, we all need motivation. And for guys like Michael Jordan, with how great he was, that's what's so impressive to me, because he was the greatest player of all time. But what motivated him was the fact that people said, no, you know, Magic Johnson's better than you. So for me, again, when you're on a team with a lot of guys, if you're honestly like not that good of a team, you're motivated by saying, I want to get in that last playoff spot. I want to get an at-large bid. I want to play Linfield. I want to upset Linfield. That's why I'd rather be the hunter.
All right, that's fair.
I'd rather be the hunter too. Gives you a little extra motivation to get somewhere. And being the hunted, where the dogs are sitting right now, puts a lot of pressure on them to not slip up. And I think a lot of teams are looking to them to upset. So
that's fair. That's fair. Drew, would you rather be the hunter or the hunted?
Oh, 100% the hunter. I don't want to sit up there in my spot and have to like defend people off with a huge old target on my back. I'd rather like lay in the weeds, just silently win a couple games, win a few more games, win a couple more games, sneak up on you, beat you, and end up in the top spot.
Yep.
Hands down.
Lay in the weeds.
I like that.
With Chubbs.
All right.
Sorry, hey, bitterness does not look well on you in three straight losses to my three straight. It's okay, though.
Hey, I wasn't here last week.
It's okay, though.
Talk. All right. Would you – okay.
Is this on the spot right now?
Little injury question. Oh. Would you rather lose your team's best offensive player or lose your team's best defensive player?
I'd rather lose my team's best offensive player, because at this level of college basketball, everyone can score. You just have guys who – guys who are like primary scorers, but everyone can shoot the ball. You can't get to play college basketball if you cannot score the basketball. That's just not how it works. Mm-hmm. However, your best defensive guy, defense wins championships, offense like brings people to the stadium. I mean, at the end of the day, if they can't score, they can't beat you. So
okay,
I disagree.
All right.
Oh wow.
I don't think everyone can score. I think scoring is a mentality and a drive, and it's something you have to work at, whereas defense is complete hustle and effort. I would rather lose my defensive player, because then defense is just diving for balls and getting your hands up and being scrappy, whereas offense, I think there's a little more to it.
I just think you can't be recruited to this level of basketball if you can't put the ball in the
hoop. I disagree with you, Lacey, 1,000,000%, but I love you. I love you.
Okay, well,
I would say when it comes to football, I would absolutely say I'd rather have a defensive player get hurt, because we've seen when quarterbacks get hurt on our football team, that can put us in a tough situation. So absolutely, I'd rather have a defensive player be hurt, especially when it comes to PLU football. Craig's system, guys overachieve, guys can fill their spots. I think offense is more important.
Okay.
Would you rather be sick for – would you rather be low-key sick for the whole year?
Like you are?
Hey, really?
Hey.
Or would you rather be really, really sick on Christmas, Thanksgiving, your birthday, and Valentine's Day?
Oh, low-key sick.
Low-key sick the
low-key
whole
sick
year.
The whole year.
It's just those one days?
Just those one days. And Mackenzie's listening.
Dude, I'll be sick on the holidays of my birthday. Come on, dude.
Valentine's Day?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, Easter? Wow.
Every day is Valentine's
low-key
Day.
Low-key sick every day.
I'd rather be low-key sick right. all day. Give me some NyQuil.
That's right. All right. Today has been a great show for Kellen Westring, Lacey Nicholson, and Drew Artisoni. My name is Christian Bond. Tune into Mass Radio Sports Talk next week on Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11. All right. We're out of here. See ya.